Hello everyone and welcome to the Child of the Library podcast, where we discover the words on our shelves and in our hearts. I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas time, because even though it's the middle of December when we are recording this, you will hear this episode probably shortly after Christmas, right around when I hit my second podcast birthday anniversary, so to say. And I really hope that the last few weeks had a sense of calm for you, that you could relax over the winter days, and that hopefully between Christmas and New Year's, you don't have to work too much so that you can relax a little bit and reflect on the past year. And like I said, I already have my second year of podcasting behind me. It was a very, very cool experience for me. I got to meet so many lovely people. And as is by now a little tradition on my podcast, I have a guest with me for my anniversary episode. And I'm super happy because I have not recorded with her for quite some time. We have always been in contact and we've read a couple of books over the past months, but we haven't recorded. So I'm very, very happy to have Jordan from the Books to Last podcast on again. Woohoo!
Hello, thank you so much for having me. It has been an age since we recorded. I think it might have been for your last anniversary, yeah. Your 1 year anniversary podcast. So yeah, almost a tradition now, very exciting. And good to be speaking to you at this, well, festive time of the year, even though we are going to be airing after it. But yeah, I'm very happy to be here, very excited for what we've got planned.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited that you're on here too. And quite a lot has changed since our last collaboration. You've had your son Douglas, you have your first book panel relatively recently. But as I understand, this episode on the book panel will also go up sometime around Christmas. So everyone who's listening to this can stay very tuned for that. If the episode comes out before this one, I will also make sure to link it in the show notes so that you can hear the latest of Jordan if you want to. So Jordan, how has your reading been going? As it usually happens with these collaborations, it's not like we go on and then we hit record right away. It's usually that we talk a little bit before, and you already told me, but I'm very sure that also the listeners would like to know how your reading year has been going and what is still to be expected.
Well, I have hit my reading goal, which, I mean, as I said to you before, like, really, there's nothing left for me to do this year. It doesn't matter about all the other goals I set, because the most important one is done. I did sort of do quite a, well, I set myself quite a low reading goal this year, because like you say, I had my first child this year and I kind of was not sure whether reading would be able to take up as much of my life, because obviously kids take up a lot of time. But I actually learned that a child being asleep on top of you and you literally being unable to move is a really good motivator to reading, because if there's nothing nearby like a TV remote or anything like that and all you've got to reach is a book, you get a lot of reading done in those sort of hours of napping. So I have read so far 52 books this year, which I'm quite proud of, because I thought I would be lucky if I managed one at one point at the beginning of the year when I hadn't read for 4 or 5 months, like, at all. I was like, I'm not going to read ever again. It's never again. But yeah, it picked up, and it's mostly been classics this year and sci-fi, which you have been a large reason why sci-fi has taken up a big part of my reading through our buddy read of the Skyward series, which has been sort of continued into this year, but we started it in 2021. So yeah, but a lot of classics this year, because my plan was to tackle the backlog. And if I finish the book I started today before the end of the year, Catch 22 by Joseph Heller, I will be up to date with my TBR up to, wow, 2015.
Wow, crazy.
So I will have read all of the books I added to my TBR up until 2015, and then I can work on the 2016 books starting next year. So we're only 6 years behind. It's fine.
To be honest, I'm very impressed by the level of statistic depth that you have on your book data.
That is because I've been on Goodreads since I was 13 years old, and I love to, I think I love documenting data about things more than I like actually doing them. So I am painstaking about how much information I put into Goodreads. There was a time that every book I owned was catalogued on Goodreads, but they've taken the function away now. So I could have exported a full library of just my own books that I own from Goodreads at one point in time. But yes, I've been adding to it since, gosh, like 2012, 2013. And because of that, I've got a fairly good picture of that. I mean, my TBR on Goodreads is only books that I own, because I figured the only way I was ever going to actually get my physical TBR down is if I actually made that my TBR instead of books that I didn't already own. So yes, I've got 200 something books on my TBR, but about 400 on my wish list. So yes, not getting, I it's an illusion of control. It's not real control.
Speaking of wish list, I think this is the perfect segue into the topic that we're actually going to cover today, because what we are going to do is a book cover showdown. You know, sometimes it happens that you hear someone talk about a book and they are super passionate and you're like, oh yeah, they really got me. I definitely want to read that book. Or you read a synopsis or you read a review and you're like, oh, that sounds awesome. That's exactly my vibe. Or I really like that author. I really love their writing style. I definitely want to read that. But if we are being very honest, it also very often happens that we think like, hey, that's a cool cover that will look lovely on my shelf. Then you get it anyway. And if the content is even nice, you're like super surprised and you're like, yes, that purchase was worth it. So what we're going to do today is that I prepared a little presentation that I have put into a link that I already shared with Jordan. She has not taken a look at the covers yet, which is very important. That was the only homework that I gave her. Please check whether the link works, but don't look at the presentation in itself. And I will also put the link in the show notes for you listeners, because I think it's super fun if you actually follow along with the book covers while we are talking about them. And a book cover showdown, usually what you see quite often is that you compare the UK and the US cover, for example, or that you compare your native language cover with, for example, an English cover. And we will definitely do a mix of that. But for me, it was also super important to always incorporate a country that you would maybe not really think about when it comes to the cover. So we have some Spanish speaking books in here. We have French, we have Thailand, Taiwan, Japan, everything. We have got a very cool mix, because I really, really wanted to put together a mix of books that really celebrates how different illustrators from around the world adapt the story to like their home country. And it's so fun to see what little elements from the story they focus on to create the covers. It's very, very fun. The covers are really sometimes not comparable, so I'm very, very excited to hear what Jordan's thoughts are on what cover is probably the prettiest for everyone. But usually when it comes to those like challenge type of things, you know, you count points and then in the end one country is winning. But you know, we are like a country to country friendship who met through podcasting, and I didn't want to put, you know, like international strain on our
well friendship. I mean, international strain is out the window because both of us lost the World Cup this year. Yeah, okay. So it's all good, and we didn't lose to each other, so it's fine. Yeah,
that's good. We can still look into each other's eyes while podcast.
Indeed, I could not care less about football, honestly. But yeah, I'm really excited about this showdown. I've never done one before, but I suppose I do it when I'm buying books, because I'm constantly sort of, if I see the English version of a book and I've seen a better cover somewhere, I will pay very silly shipping fees so that I don't have to have the British version and I can have the version from the country that I want it from.
I totally understand that. Before we actually start into the challenge, I want to tell a little story. For everyone who is listening, you probably know English is not my mother tongue. I'm from Germany. So we learned English as first foreign language. And usually when you do that, that at the end, like when you're in high school, your English level is at an okay height so that you can read books together in class and stuff. And I remember that I had this very weird encounter with the English language and English books for the first time in high school, because we had to read State of Fear by Michael Crichton. And usually in Germany, there's just one German version of the book, unless it's a classic and, you know, the rights have gone into public domain and there are a couple of different publishers who publish the book. But usually an author has like an exclusive contract with the publisher for a certain amount of time. And then there's just one type of book from their story. But of course, when you have the UK and the US versions of covers, you have the same story, but you have a different cover. You have maybe a few different words, like for example, with the Sorcerer's Stone and the Philosopher's Stone for the Harry Potter series.
And the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Never said that. Oh, sorry. I feel another tangent coming on, so we are quick.
No, it's not. I just feel like it's important to acknowledge that a sorcerer and a philosopher are not the same thing. It's definitely a false equivalent.
It's a mystery that we will never solve.
In Germany,
there's just one version.
I'm so sorry I interrupted you, but yes, different words.
It's fine. So what I wanted to say, of course, there are like different versions of the book, right? Because it's two different countries. But when you are in high school and, you know, like back in the day where we didn't know about Book Depository and when Amazon was also not that big, you just went to your local bookshop and you're like, hey, I want an English copy of Michael Crichton's State of Fear. Can you deliver that until, I don't know, tomorrow? They're like, yeah, sure, it will be in here. Just come and grab it. So after the holidays, when we started to read it, we realized that we actually had different copies. So my friend had the UK copy and I had the US copy. But we didn't really, you know, we didn't think about like actually looking into the book and seeing in what country it was published. But we just noticed that we had very different covers. So this was really the first time where I at least, you know, like at the back of my head encountered that apparently with the English language, there's more to it than what you usually experience when you have a German speaking book. But of course, then years later, when I started to get more into the book community, also online, I realized and I looked back, I completely had forgotten that memory. And then suddenly it came back to me and I was like, that was probably the first time when I realized that there's something there. So this is what we're going to do today. We are going to head over to the presentation, and I highly implore everyone who is listening to this to do so too. And then we will take a look at the first covers and see which one we like best. And that will be for Skyward by Brandon Sanderson. Of course, I had to start with this one because that is the series and the first book that Jordan and I buddy read together. So we have on the left the UK version, which is the one that we both have and both read from. Then we have the US one and also the German one, because you will see throughout the slides that Germany has a very unique way of making covers. I don't know how to explain it. I think, you know, as someone living in Germany and really seeing the difference to an English-speaking cover, I think if you give them to me without text, I could pick out the German one. I don't know, maybe it's because, you know, I see them around here quite a lot, but they give off a certain vibe. So yes, on the left we have the UK cover, which is classic black and white illustration with like the lovely gold yellow highlights. I really, really love the border design. I love that they kept the same style throughout the entire series and that just the amount of black and white is like a little bit changing. And then for Cytonic, which is the third book, there's also a little bit of red coming in. But I really, really love that design for Skyward in the US version. I have to admit, I never really got too warm with it, to be honest. Maybe it's because you very clearly see the person in the illustration. Because for the Skyward UK one, it's very nice because it's just like a tiny figure and you see so much more from the actual space. And for Skyward US, you have got that very, very focus on the face. And then for Skyward Germany, you have the exact same, just with a little bit of more bluish and not so much purplish touch. But you also have a focus on the face and really those eyes that are very in focus who stare at you. So yeah, I definitely have my favorite and I would love to hear Jordan's thoughts. And I saw, because the thing is, we are of course recording this podcast, but we are also having visuals. We are also seeing us through video. So I could see her actually rolling back in her chair towards her bookshelf and picking out the copy of Skyward that we do have.
Well, yes, because I felt like I wanted to see it in person, because as much as your, because this is obviously an excellent slideshow, what you can't see in the pictures, because I wasn't sure if it was the case, is obviously on the British cover, wherever you see yellow, it's sort of shiny.
Foiling.
Yeah. Foiling. It's for, you see, you, English as a second language still knows the words better than I do. It's got the gold foiling. And so it's funny, you mentioned about how you could pick out all the German, like in a stand, you think you'd be able to pick out the German edition. And I think it's funny because I do think there is definitely like trends. And the reason why obviously publishers do different covers for different books is to appeal to that local audience, isn't it? So, and I find it interesting to see what the audience, I suppose, what that particular country finds the most appealing in terms of buying books. And the reason I bring it up is because this US cover of Skyward, which I don't dislike. I actually kind of like that you can see what Spencer looks like, because I had a really hard time picturing Spencer as a character. So when I saw this is who I picture as Spencer now, because I found it really hard to come up with a face for her, which, because obviously the English cover does not give you it. I actually bought this particular edition after you bought me my edition of Cytonic, because your edition of Cytonic was the trade paperback that you gave me. And I loved it so much that I wanted my other two to match it. So I got rid of my existing two and I found Skyward and Starsight to match them. But yes, this American cover, it kind of does, but it kind of doesn't fit in with it. I recently went to America, as you know, for a week over Thanksgiving. And I went into, obviously, Half Price Books and Barnes & Noble and a bunch of other different bookstores while I was over there. And I remember being really surprised by the American style of covers for a lot of different kind of books, because I think if you saw them in isolation, it doesn't stand out as much, but they, to me, seem almost kind of retro. Like, it's got, I'm really trying not to use the word old-fashioned, but like, it's just traditional, very traditional sort of formats of like book covers. And I found it really odd, like kind of how I would imagine Western novels or like the fantasy books in particular have like a really distinctive style and they all seem to use the same font. And I remember just being really blown, because that's just not what a British bookstore looks like at all. So I found that really strange. I also think it's funny with this German cover, I've never seen this German cover for Skyward.
Why would you?
it does look absolutely nothing like Spencer. I mean, even though I struggle to picture her, that's not necessarily what she, I don't think that's how she's described. But it kind of makes sense almost as a German cover, because I think I've said to you recently, because I've tried to pick back up the German language to learn again, because I started learning in high school and then haven't touched it since, and I've wanted to try and attempt to learn it again. And I find German a very literal language in translation, because when you break down longer words, the individual components in English don't necessarily add up, but they more or less come together to mean what it means. Like, it's very I can't think of a better way to describe it, but in that way, this is a book about space. This book cover is very obviously a book about space. And it's just kind of like space book. Yes. Space. Picture of sky in space.
And very important, we always need a sticker with like Spiegel best-selling author.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, Waterstones love putting stickers in the most I mean, not to call Waterstones out, but I have had many a falling out with stickers on the fronts of my books that leave sticky residue that you can't get off, and it ruins the front cover of a very pretty book. So, yeah. This is probably one of the rare occasions where I actually think the UK cover may be my favourite. And because I think you always want what you don't have. So often I'm very critical of the UK cover in favour of other ones. But in this case, I do really like the British one. Because like you say, the framing, I've said to you during our discussions on the books, it's definitely a sci-fi book, but it uses very classical fantasy elements, which is Brandon Sanderson's wheelhouse, isn't it? So it makes sense that he would marry those two. But I like how they've got the very sci-fi cover with the very sort of classic fantasy font even and frame. I think it definitely sums the book up really well. But I don't mind the illustration on the American one.
That was actually a very good summary of the three covers. What I actually also want to point out, which is something that I especially realized when it comes to German translations from like a foreign language, is that what they do when we have series is that they take the word from the series, like for example, Skyward, and for the Hunger Games, which we will, well, spoiler, come to later, the actual title of the series will be Skyward, or in German, like The Tributes of Panem. But then the like subtitle is like the actual title. So Skyward in this case is not like the title of the book. It's Skyward as a series. So also the next two books have Skyward on it. And then the subtitle, which is like The Call of the Stars, is to identify the first book, and then the next one has like a different subtitle, but it's still called Skyward. So it's, yeah, sometimes a little bit confusing. We do that quite often in German. And yeah, if you try to find in the English equivalent, then it's, yeah, it's a struggle sometimes.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was looking at the sort of subtitle and trying to see if I could figure out what it was. I knew Stern was Stars. I think that's quite common, isn't it? Because there are some, especially in fantasy genres, where the title, a lot of the time it's a made up word, so it doesn't translate into a language. So they have to almost come up with a name that makes sense for the series in translation. So yeah, that is interesting though. I imagine that's difficult when you've got to try and find the equivalents abroad if you want an English cover.
Definitely. And one book that we don't have in here, but that I'm currently reading with a friend, called Babel by R.F. Kuang. It's a lovely, lovely book. It's really like heartbreaking at times, but it really prompts you to think about language and translation and culture and all of those things. And it really made me think of what an incredible job translators are doing and how very, you know, not trivial it is to translate something. Because, you know, do you do it very literally and just translate word by word? Do you, you know, put your own style in it? Do you try to mimic the style of the author? Do you try to adapt it to the audience that is your language speakers? Or do you try to keep it as close as possible to the original culture? So there are all of those questions. So a big shout out to everyone who's trying to translate anything or who is even doing that for a job. Great respect going out to you. And we are going to head on to the next three covers, which are on 1984 by George Orwell. So we have the German one, which is, so this is a classic, so I know that there are numerous variations of that book, but I just picked a few that are very, very different. We have a German one, which has, of course, like the classic eye, but it's, I think it really looks very sci-fi, and it is green, which I think green is not really a color usually associated with George Orwell that much. It's mostly red, if I remember it from all of the other books that I have. Then we have the French version, which is an illustration that is more leaning on the gray, dark bluish side. And then we have the US version that I think last year came out. Those are the Macmillan like little pocket editions. And they of course have the classic, what is that color? Turquoise? It's like turquoise?
It's like a duck egg blue.
Ah, yeah, duck egg blue. That sounds lovely. So you have the duck egg blue top with like gold foil lettering on it. And then at the bottom, you always have an illustration that corresponds to the book. And here we see like the classic, of course, eye for 1984, but it is in red, which is usually a color that is very associated with George Orwell. So, any thoughts? So the thing is, I have not made up my mind for all of them. You know, sometimes when I put them together, I was like, yeah, you know, I feel it deeply already that this is my favorite. But then there are some, like this one, where I'm really like undecided. So I'm very interested to hear what Jordana has to say on them.
Yeah, I'm really interested to look at these all together because they're all very different from the cover that I associate with 1984, which is obviously the British cover that I've seen various different versions of, but more or less the elements are very similar when 1984 is republished in the UK. So these, I would say the German one is probably closest to what I associate with imagery. I think just to do with proportions, I think it's not very... it's not meant to be a realistic cover. It's a very sort of illustrated cover. And yeah, I think that calls me, although I have not seen a green one, and I do really like that. I do like that more or less that because 1984 is a year, there's not needed to be much translation on the title of the book. The French one is a bit creepy. It's interesting, but they've definitely focused, they've all focused on eyes, which is obviously a big theme of Big Brother is watching you for 1984. Actually, the first book I finished this year, 1984, was so helpfully as read by Stephen Fry in the audiobook version. It was very, very interesting. It's really stuck with me in a way I wasn't expecting it to, actually. And I have seen these US special edition. I've seen this series of them. The different color palettes are interesting, and I kind of like how the French one does look like a wanted poster almost, which makes sense. But for me, I think I prefer the German version because yes. I think not that it's a competition, but I think that illustration just is, I think it illustrates what I associate with 1984 better. I think that, yeah, that's an image that I would more associate with it. Whereas if you were to take the US version, I would definitely know. If you took the title off of that and the author, I would probably still know what book that was meant to be. I don't think I'd know from the French one. If you took the name, the author and the name really of it, I don't think I would know. But it is interesting. It's an interesting style of illustration, actually, which you don't see very often as well. So,
yeah. To be honest, the French one, it reminded me a little bit like Dobby.
It just looked like Dobby.
Yeah, a bit. It has, like, the person looking at you has, like, those very, very big eyes and those very big ears. And the first association that I had was Dobby. And I have never seen a cover style for 1984 illustrated in that way. Okay, this is definitely something different. I definitely want to have that in there. But I have to admit, because last year when I was at the Frankfurt Book Fair, they actually just very, very newly had those George Orwell editions. So they have Animal Farm and 1984. This is unfortunately the lot of that poor man. You know, he has got those two like very, very, very big books, and they get like such cool covers and such cool versions. And then you want to collect all of his books in that version, but it's just non-existing because you just have those two. So those came out fairly new. And I remember seeing them at the book fair, so I also have a little bond with them, just seeing them, because I saw George Orwell so much on during that book fair. It was crazy. And what I really like is that, of course, you see the depiction of police state, war state, sort of, that is illustrated on the cover. But then at the same time, you have the color of green, which is usually associated with hope in some way, which I found very interesting.
That is interesting, because that's not what green's associated with in the UK.
Really? Is it not?
It's very nature. Like, green is yeah, nature and outdoorsiness, or actually even illness. Like, so there's like two sort of flip sides. Like yellow is also illness, but we would more say yellow is happy and maybe hopeful, whereas I would associate either green with like grass and nature, or with someone being sick or ill. But yeah, that is really interesting. Yeah, it is interesting. I feel for George Orwell with his two big classics, because I mean, I feel like Alexander Dumas gets the same treatment, because he has The Count of Monte Cristo and he has The Three Musketeers.
Yeah.
And he wrote something ridiculous like 200 books, in, well, 200 pieces of literature in his life. And those are the only two that people talk about and remember. And they're the only two you can ever get in the Penguin Classics version. And then you have to troll the internet for versions of the rest.
But I think that's so interesting, and probably also like an example of how they adapt the cover to the audience of the country, because I associate something totally different with green than you. So this is really, really fun. And maybe just one last word. I found it super interesting that those Macmillan special editions on the right for the US, that they did not use the number, that they wrote it out in letters.
Yes, maybe to make it look more
probably
fancy. I don't know. I always find it interesting. I don't know if this is, I mean, spoiler for 1984 as a book, I guess, but I always find it really interesting that the eye is the thing that people associate, but like Room 101, or what we eventually find in Room 101, is never on the picture. And maybe that is because they don't want to spoil it. Mm-hmm. But there is a show on UK TV called Room 101 that's hosted by a comedian, and then celebrities come on and they name things that they want to put in Room 101 because they don't like them. And it's just a bit of it's a comedy show. But I never understood the reference until I read 1984. Yeah, I feel like it's not a prominent part of the way that the book is advertised. So I always find it interesting that the eye is the main image and not, I really don't want to say it just because I feel like it is probably a spoiler. That is probably why they don't put it on the front of the cover, because there's such a build up to it. I remember actually being kind of disappointed by the time we got to the end of it, and there was such a build up to what the main character fears so much, and then we get to it and it's kind of like, come on man, get a grip. But yes, a very funny show though. So if you do ever want to watch a British comedians talking about things they don't like, I do recommend Room 101 with Frank Skinner.
We'll definitely check that out. So let's take that as the last word on the 1984 covers and head on to Haruki Murakami. So I definitely wanted to have something of his, because first of all, he's like a very, very well-known Asian author that has been translated into numerous languages. But his books are also kind of weird. Sometimes they are like very obviously weird. Sometimes they are weird in a very subtle way. So I was specifically searching for a book that has a slightly weird array of covers. And the one that I chose is The Elephant Vanishes. So we have the Japanese version, which is relatively simple. Like, it has an elephant on a blue and red background. And then, of course, the version of characters. Then we have The Elephant Verschwindet, which is The Elephant Vanishes in German. And don't get me started on this cover. To be honest, the German cover was the reason why I picked it, because it's just so ridiculous. We have a farmer with how is it called? Pitchfork? Is it called?
Yes. Pitchfork?
Standing on the back of an elephant, and the elephant has wings. There's a lot to uncover. And then we have the US version, which is, you know, from the line of US Murakami covers that sort of have a rather colorful palette in not really showing too much what the book is about. Like, it's just a mishmash of colors that in some shape or form should represent the book. And it is actually like, I have all of my Murakami books and those versions, and they are very easy for me to picture and then find on my rainbow bookshelf. But yeah, if you just look at the cover, it's not really telling you a lot about the book. Let me call it like that.
So there are no elephants on the front of that book.
Yeah, that's the main difference compared to the rest of the cover. So yeah, draw 10.
Well, I mean, I suppose that's the point, because the elephant vanishes. So the fact that you can't see the elephant on the front of the American cover is maybe the most accurate depiction if you want to go down that road.
That's very smart.
The German one is interesting. I will say it's an interesting choice to publish something that looks so poorly photoshopped, because like it is an interesting design choice. It feels like that must have been intentional, but it just reminds me of when I was at school, and I'm sure many English school students can relate to this, but they give you, obviously you get the books and the textbook, and it always seemed like the book versions that they mass bought to distribute to classes were usually the strangest and often most unattractive covers they could possibly find for that particular book. I'm looking at any Shakespeare edition ever handed out in a classroom. And it just very much like, it looks to me like a book that would be handed out in a school, because for whatever reason, that was the cover that they managed to buy 30 of. And then the Japanese one I like I like a lot, because I like the bold colours. I like it. It's just very, it looks very sort of traditional, and it appeals to me probably the most, because I like modern covers that mimic traditional covers, which is probably a bit of an oxymoron. But yeah, the US cover, I imagine that would look quite nice if you had them all in that edition and with the set, because I think that style would probably translate to all of the different stories quite easily, because it doesn't actually say anything about the book. But I have an ongoing theory that most books' best covers are from the author's own country. I think a lot of the time the best cover is reserved for the original country of publishing, and then the rest of the publishers don't usually get as good a one. There are exceptions, of course, but like, I mean, Brendan Sanderson is American, for instance, and we've already discussed that we prefer his British covers. But I do think that is the case for a lot of authors who we may talk about later on. So I'll save any comments about specific examples in case they come up. But yes, I think the Japanese one's probably my favorite in this one. But the middle one does give me a lot of nostalgia. Like the German one gives me a lot of nostalgia for my school days and reading poetry books with the most random pictures on the front of them.
Okay. So two thoughts on that. So yes, I really like the Japanese one, because in such a subtle way, because if you look at it, the elephant is leaving the blue box. So it is starting to vanish. So I really like that it's very subtle, that you have like the Japanese characters very prominent on the cover. You also have, which I found that very convenient, so thank you for everyone who had a say in designing that book cover, because for me as a non-Japanese speaker it was very easy to find that this is the correct cover to the book that I was searching for, because it also says the title and the author in English additionally. And then you have that very subtle illustration of the elephant, which is very nice. So really, really love that one. For me personally, I really like the US covers because I have the whole set and I know how well they match next to each other. I think I would prefer it. It's super hard, but maybe just like as a little thought. So The Elephant Vanishes is not like just one novel. It's more of a collection of stories. And one of the stories in The Elephant Vanishes was actually turned into the movie Burning, which a couple of years ago really was relatively successful also in our countries. So I have not seen it yet, because I want to read the story first and then see it. But yeah, I really like on the cover how you have those little dots. They have like different sizes, different colors. And for me, those dots represent the different stories, because on all of the other covers, they don't have dots like that. They have other forms of color blending or other forms of color illustration, but those dots are specifically reserved for this book with all of those little stories. So I really, really like that. Yet again, for the German one, it pains me to look at it, to be honest, because the elephant, if you look closely, the elephant, it's not like a cute illustration. It's like a real life elephant with the wrinkles and everything. And then you have those very textured wings, you know, it's not soft wings, like you can see every feather and every groove inside of it. And yeah, I have no idea like why. I mean, yes, the elephant probably wants to vanish because it has the wings, but it probably can't because there's this very obese farmer with his pitchfork standing on its back. I have no idea what is happening here. I really, really love your school memory that comes up when you look at that. So in Germany, when it comes to like classics and usually the books that are read very, very often in German class, we have a special publishing house called Reclam, which make those very, very inexpensive, tiny copies of those books. And they are all yellow. Like the German ones are yellow, and then there are different colors for other languages. And they are very, very minimal in their design, but they are, you know, relatively cheap. So usually that is a go-to for quite a lot of students. I don't know that cover. To be honest, if I had never read a Murakami and I would have seen that in a German bookshop, I would probably steer away from that author for the rest of my life. No idea what's going on.
It would be completely understandable if that was the case. Yeah, I do think it's interesting. I know they say don't judge a book by its cover, but you said at the beginning, like, you know, sometimes the only reason we pick up a book is because its cover. And I often think that I can usually tell a lot about my compatibility with a book based on its covers. So I can look at a lot of books, not because they're poorly designed, but I can look at a book and just from the styles and the cues that I'm getting from the choice of design, I know it's not my kind of book. Like, even though there's probably nothing wrong with it, I just know it's not maybe the kind of book I would enjoy. So like, can't believe I'm actually saying this on the internet, so please don't hate me, but Colleen Hoover, for example, I have no interest in reading a Colleen Hoover book for many reasons, but the main one being I just know that it won't be my kind of book, mainly because of I've looked into it as well. I've not been closed-minded. I've looked into the subject matter she deals with. I just know that isn't my kind of book, but I knew everything I needed to know from looking at the covers, because I saw the covers and I was like, I know exactly what kind of book that is, because that is the house style for that kind of book. And no, I know I don't get on with that kind of book. I know that's just not my cup of tea. So yeah, it can be damaging if you see a bad cover, which is why I think it's interesting when you see, I suppose, alternate covers that stand out a little bit more. Yes.
Yeah. And on the other hand, if you are a Colleen Hoover lover, it's lovely because when you see that style of book, you know, that's my cup of tea. So
exactly. It's like illustrated. It's like, you know, like the cartoon romance cover books. I know that I like that kind of book now. So I just pick them up because I just know. I was like, I've read books that look like that. I know exactly. I know I will enjoy that book.
Lovely. So moving away from those sometimes maybe a little bit questionable covers, let's move on to the next one, which I really, really love because I really, first of all, enjoyed that series, which is
one of
I really
your choices enjoy- on my podcast.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed the Three Dark Crown. Is it called the Three Dark Crown series? The first book is definitely called Three Dark Crowns, but is the series called like that? Don't know. Don't call him.
You've already said there's a cultural reason why you might not know the name of the series, because Germany changes them.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so the first book, Three Dark Crowns by Kendara Blake. Loved the series. Really, really great. Loved the sister dynamic, the difference of the sisters. Lovely. And I also specifically wanted to pick this because, and I mean, it's probably not a spoiler if I say that now, it has one of my absolute favorite covers that I have ever seen for a series, and that's the Taiwanese one on the very right. So if we go from left to right, of course on the left we have like the classic US. It's black, it has incredible
three crowns.
I love the font, and it has the three crowns that represent each of the queens. And if you really look closely, you can see how much detail went into the design of the crowns. I actually, you know, when I was like in my deep phase of nerding out about this series, I actually read an article, an interview that they did with the illustrator, where she really went into very, very deep why she designed all of the crowns in that way. If I remember, I will also link link that in the show notes because I found that very interesting. You know, the thought process that really goes into illustrating something where you probably from the publisher already know that this will really be something that a lot of people will read. Then in the middle, we have the German version. And this is a perfect example of what I meant before when I said German covers have a certain style. Because why a fantasy, romance, family drama books, let's call them like this, have very often a similar style to that?
I don't hate it. It's probably my favorite German cover that we've seen so far. I don't know. It reminds me of the, Wicked Prince series? What's it called? The Cruel Prince series. It reminds me of the Cruel Prince style.
That's true.
Prince. So I definitely don't dislike it. It's not too bad. I think I like all three of these ones.
Great. And of course, then on the right, we have the Taiwanese one, which, yes, you do see the three queens illustrated. And usually I'm sometimes a little bit iffy when I actually see people being illustrated or even, God forbid, photos of people on covers if they are, you know, like not real life photos. Biographies.
But don't do photos of real people. No.
But I just really, you know, looking at it, you see there's one crown because there's just one spot for a queen on that island. You have those three queens who are perfectly depicted on the one hand in like with their clothing, in their bearing, in the way how they are like from a personality point of view. And you can also very clearly see what their magic types are. So I really, really love that. And then you have got like that very dramatic, big gray storm cloud in the back. I just really love that. I mean, I learned Chinese, but unfortunately my traditional Chinese is very, very bad. The simplified Chinese characters, maybe I could read a few words in the book, but when it comes to the traditional characters, which are the main characters that I use in Taiwan, I'm completely out. But if I ever come across that copy, I don't care in what language it is. I would get it. Just for the cover, I would get it.
I have seen some really gorgeous editions of Alexander Dumas in Russian, and I do not even entertain a prospect of being able to speak or read Russian, but they were so nice that I would have got them had I been able to. So interestingly, I think all three of these covers, I said I like them. I think they all do a really good job because I have not read this series, but I think they all do a really excellent job of telling me about these three queens, because if you cross examine them against each other, say the American cover with the Taiwanese cover to start off with, I can very easily tell which of the three queens on the pit cover are supposed to have which crown, because you know, you've got the fire, she's got the fire, snakes, nature, can see that. But then also in the German one, it maybe looks like it doesn't have that separation, except if you do look quite closely, you can see the snakes are represented, the bears, you've got sort of smoke and shadows and that sort of thing. So I actually think all three of them do a really good job at selling the book that they're selling. I think the cross-publisher relations on designing front covers did a really good job for Rick and Air Blake. Well done.
To be honest, the crow, because I think on the German one, which is also why probably from all of them, it's the one that I like the least. It's definitely not dislike, but why I like it the least is probably because we have the crows very, very prominent when it comes to the crown. So you really have to look to see, okay, there's smoke, there's the bear, there's the snake, but the crows are very, very in the center. Looking back on the book, I don't get why they are so much in the center.
They're very symbolic of fantasy. We're just trying to... like that, again, you mentioned the sticker. There is obviously like the New York, this time it's a New York Times bestseller sticker. But I do this, it just plays into all of the things that I associate with German people in terms of like just being very practical. Like, why should I read your book? Well, it's a bestseller. That is a good reason to read the book. Whereas like the book can't just go on its own merit. It needs to be corroborated by another organization. It needs to say, this is a good book, we promise you. Because otherwise, why would you buy it? It all makes sense, and I can't blame them.
Lovely. So yes, we can definitely align that Kendara Blake really across the globe apparently got a very good job done for her covers. So really love that for her and also for the series because I'm a big fan. Then moving on from that more like gray, black, white color scheme to a very colorful page. Because we're going to look at covers from The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. So we have this, of course, a Spanish-speaking version. We have the US version, and then we have the German version. And let's say they are all very out there in terms of their color scheme.
Yeah, the Spanish one actually is exactly the same as the British one that's been released fairly recently, except obviously instead of the Spanish word for The Alchemist, it says the English word for The Alchemist. But I have seen that book in person, that cover in person, and it's very sort of small, hardback, very pretty. It's got the foiling and everything on it. It's very nice. It's really nice in person. And it's like, instead of a glossy dust jacket, it's like a textured paper one with the foiling. So I always think it's a bit nicer when you have a slightly nicer quality paper on the dust jacket. I think it adds a little bit of something. So yes, it's very similar to the English one. But all very bright. The Alchemist is one that has been on my TBR for a very long time, so another one I have not read, but do want
neither.
To read.
Yeah, definitely. So maybe a fun fact about the German one. So there's another, like the older cover for The Alchemist in German. I did not put it in, but this is, the old one is very iconic because it really just shows a person, you know, like the slits of the eyes. And then you have like the traditional like black, I'm calling it scarf because I don't have the actual word how it's called, but you know, like the headscarf and what you can put before your mouth so that when you're in the sand and there's a sandstorm, you don't have to like breathe in the sand and stuff. So this is a cover that is very, very prevalent for Germans because of course we've seen it in bookstores for years. And then they very recently changed the cover to this style, which is of course very out there, like I said. And it's funny because I think what they really tried is to show that this is talking about a culture that is very, very different from what we have in Germany, not only setting wise but also, you know, color scheme wise because it's so very bright. And I would, you know, like from all of them, if this is one where I would say, okay, if I really had to pick which one is the German one, I would probably go for the middle because I was, hey, maybe, you know, someone went really wild with the illustration, but I never would have guessed the right one. This is really one that for me is totally falling out of the pattern that I have seen before, but I still like it.
Yeah,
it's a lot for my eye.
It's very bright. I think my enjoyment of that as a cover would probably lean on how it looks in person, because I do think some covers look better on screen than they do in person, and then some look better in person than they do on screen. I don't know whether it extends into the design extends into the spine of the book, maybe would be interesting. It is very bright. I mean, it's got a lot of color and nature, which I think is interesting because the first two, the Spanish and the US versions, focus very much on like a desert scape and a desert color scheme. Although admittedly the US one is it's a lot more purple and pink, whereas the Spanish one is sort of more oranges and reds, but it's still very much the desert. Whereas the German one has desert as the background, but in the foreground has almost like tropical colors and plants and wildlife. Not knowing anything about The Alchemist as a novel, only that it's a classic and it has been picked on my podcast as a choice before, so it's very, you know, very well loved. I'm intrigued to know what it's about because these three books, book covers, show very different stories and vibes. Yeah, I would be interested to dig into it a little bit more. I do really like the US version, but I think because I've seen what the Spanish one would look like in person, I do think that's probably my favorite.
Yeah. Now that you mentioned that it has gold foil, always wins me over people. I'm very simple when it comes to that. So looking at the time, because we have actually recorded for quite a bit and we still have, let me check, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things to go. Maybe we can, you know, go through them, but we will probably, just for you listeners out there, we will probably not spend just as much time on them like we did for the first ones. But this is my turn to really tell you if you, and I'm very sure all of your listeners have an opinion on the different covers. So it would be lovely if you let me know your opinion either on Instagram, where you can write under one of my posts, or you can write me a direct message to @childofthelibrary, or you can also write me an email to childofthelibrary@gmail.com. And then we will head on to the next half of the books. And we will start with The Hunger Games by Suzanne Collins that I had been hinting at the very beginning. And this is yet again one of those instances where we don't have like The Hunger Games, Mockingjay, Catching Fire in the title, but we have The Tributes of Panem as like the series name, and then a subtitle, which is Deadly Games in this case, which is true. Maybe let's start from the right for one. So we have the German cover, which shows a face. People, this is from the time when we had Stephanie Meyer's like Souls cover. If you still remember that. Again, German translations. The Host. Yes. Thank you so much.
It very much looks that like the time. Host. It's almost exactly the same. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that time. And we, of course, have the Leafs because they are in the arena and you have blood on the Leafs. So I actually like the subtlety that we had there. And to be honest, for all of the covers, not knowing anything about the series, would have no clue. Maybe the one on the left, which is actually the Chinese cover, would give me most, you know, those vibes. Yeah, you know, something is going on.
Yes. The Chinese cover definitely, I mean, that's kind of a mixture between the two, because I think the German one probably shows you maybe a slightly more obviously what the series is about. Whereas obviously the US cover is more symbolism from the series, which is quite, it's similar to the new covers for the UK version, but the original covers for the Hunger Games from the UK are awful, hideous. Don't look at them. They're horrible. It was a bad time for dystopian trilogies in the UK during the time that The Hunger Games was released. The subsequent covers are much better. But yes, the Chinese cover shows you a mixture between the symbolism and what's happening. US has the Mockingjay symbol just all illustrated. And then the German one is being very on the nose about the fact that it is a deadly game with the blood added on to a children's book.
Yeah. Actually, when it comes, so my version of the Hunger Games, the ones that I have now are like the 10th anniversary edition, and they are not, you know, like super floppy or like hardbacks or anything, but they are those very beautiful paperbacks who have an embossing, but it, how do you say it? It's not going down, but it's going up, so it feels like a ball.
Yeah, it's like embossing or like beveled almost.
Yeah,
sort of. Yeah,
yeah. So that's,
are they the white ones? Because I've seen the white ones and they are
no
beautiful.
So sorry, I will probably cut that part out while I'm hunting for the books to show them to Jordan. But maybe, I don't know, maybe I can put them on the Instagram on my stories highlight.
You can show me I think, if you want.
No, it's fine. I'm literally sitting 2 meters away from a bookshelf, so just give me a second. Because my shelf is color coordinated, it was actually very easy to get them. So this one is the first one, which is basically a very dark teal color, and it mimics wooden boards, and it has the district emblem of district number 12 on it, which is very nice.
I have not seen those ones.
I've never seen them too, but they are so cool. Then we have Catching Fire, which is also like a very, very dark teal, but it has very pink accents. And you see like there are like petals and stuff on it, and it's shimmering even. And then, and this is like my very favorite one. Just look at it. Like you have the embossing. It's white grayish. It shows the District 13 entry strictly prohibited.
Yeah, I like
out sign, and you have the branches and everything growing over it because, you know, District 13. Sorry, spoiler alert. Should be extinct, but it's not. But I really, really love
it's
those
a bunker
covers
mainly. I like how they're very focused on the location, yes. But back to the covers we're looking at.
Yeah.
I think the US one is the one I associate the most with The Hunger Games, and I think that's the very sort of classic, the very classic cover of it. Although I do find that the other two approaches interesting. The Hunger Games is a strange one because you could go a lot of different ways for the cover, but I don't know, I just really like the Mockingjay symbol as the go-to picture for the Hunger Games series. That's like the series that I've got, which is starts with the Mockingjay in the ring and then catching fire, trying to leave it, and then Mockingjay escaping sort of imagery. I liked that sort of transformation for the bird across the series. But so yes, I'm kind of biased towards the US one, I think.
Yeah, but I think, to be honest, yeah, the Chinese one, if I'm not to choose the versions that I have, which I specifically did not put them in here because I wanted to have like the original US cover on there in the, not contest, but like in the comparison. If I'm not allowed to choose the 10-year anniversary editions, then I would definitely go with the Chinese one because I think it really shows the feeling of escaping through the woods, either, you know, if you think about the story, escaping before the game start, or either in the actual game where Katniss needs to escape from like other tributes and stuff. So I really, really like that. And I was very surprised when I realized that the Chinese one is my favorite.
I think it'd be worth looking at the white ones. They do, there's the a set that they did the trilogy with just white covers, images on the front, and then foiled.
Ah, the edges.
Pages, yeah, the foiled edges. They're very pretty, but they're incredibly rare. So I don't think I'm ever going to own a set. But it would be nice if I did.
Everyone can have dreams. I mean, I think I saw them. Yeah, I think I saw them at some point. They had a ridiculous price tag on them and they would have like shipped from New Zealand. It was okay.
Maybe
you know, tone it down a bit.
I'm sure there'll be a 30-year anniversary set for this series because it's iconic. So
definitely. So I think because I really, really like talking with people about these covers, so maybe I will take some of the ones that I have prepared, put them in another next episode somewhere in the future, and we can still do and, you know, talk more deeply about two ones which I know we will probably have quite a bit to say on, because I think that's definitely better than us, you know, rushing through all of them, because we could do this all day, but we want to keep the episode at a reasonable time frame. So let's probably jump to the Harry Potter 20th anniversary editions from different countries. Not the original covers, but very different ones. So we have the one from Thailand, we have the one from the UK, which in that case is the Gryffindor House edition. To be honest, I'm a Ravenclaw. I like the red. Okay, so we are not both vibing with this, but I wanted to keep in the red color scheme for them. And then on the right we have the German one. First thoughts, Jordan?
I really like the Thailand one. Harry looks adorable in it.
Yeah,
I mean,
it does.
It's just, I love that illustration style because it's so sort of, I really, really like, I almost want the Thai, I think I want the Thai version of Harry Potter now, and I definitely would not be able to read it. I did own the Ravenclaw versions of the UK 20th anniversary. I'm going to be honest, Harry Potter obviously was a worldwide phenomenon. I just feel like they could have done better for the 20-year anniversary. I just, no shade to whoever, God, okay, no disrespect to whoever designed the 20th anniversary house ones. I understood what they were going for, but they're just not, even the Ravenclaw ones, they're just not for me. I mean, the sprayed edges are quite cool, but if you bought all of the hardcover versions of them or all of the paperback, I don't know if you know this, but they don't stay the same colour. Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone in the hardback is black with, say, you've got Gryffindor with the house colour detailing. And then when you bought the next one, it would have the fully house colour background with the black detailing.
Oh yeah, that I know.
So if you had all seven of them, they would alternate. So it would be black, red, black, red, black, red. Mm-hmm. So it would look like the stripes of the tie, which I think is sort of what they... I don't quite understand why they did that, because I like all of them to be the same colour. So I don't know why. And the German one actually is very similar to... Have you seen the Mina Lima illustration?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's kind of very similar to their design is. And also I like that a lot as well. Harry Potter is one that I actually really like the different illustrations that they've done, even the new versions of the covers, because when I read them, I had the original English traditional, the first covers that came out, I had those ones. They have a soft spot for me because that's just what I picture when I picture Harry Potter. But I do really enjoy the new illustrations that have been done by different artists who are different, so not the original artists for the books, especially the American artist whose name escapes me, but I used as my case study for my art coursework. But definitely I think the Thailand one is my favorite one of these, even though the German one is a close second. UK, I'm sorry, you just could have done better. They didn't even keep proper Harry Potter font. It's just disappointing all the way around.
Oh dear. And to be honest, in Germany, I did not put in the original cover, but the German original cover, of course, it will always hold a certain degree of nostalgia for me because obviously, but they were, I'm shying away from the word hideous, but...
You've used it now.
yeah, very deep in my heart. That's probably the word that I would use. They are not super bad, but Harry literally looks like he's 40. Because the illustration style is so minimal and his hair looks like...
I'm going to have to Google.
Black, grayish, green chips. French fries for my American listeners. Yeah.
No, you can use the word hideous. They are hideous.
Okay, thank you. I will. I will maybe amend this slide and we'll put like, you know, one that is hidden behind it that shows like the original German cover so that everyone can, you know, get a feeling of what I'm talking about. Everything, literally everything that they did design wise was an improvement from where we started.
Not to cast aspersions, but I feel like the German illustrator that felt that it was like, okay, I need to draw an English schoolboy. How can I insult English people in every way I know how with the way I illustrate this child? It feels I feel like it's so bad it feels intentional. Like it feels like it's a commentary. They've made up for it with the 20 anniversary ones though, because the spines on though, I've just seen an image, are beautiful. They are very, very nice. So you redeemed, but I don't know. I feel like that's got to be intentional. There's no way.
I mean, we lived 20 years with the old covers. Like,
it's very 90s. It's very, because obviously the books originally started coming out in the 90s, didn't they? I think it kind of plays into that. Ooh, 90s cool. Maybe boys will want to read this because it's kind of an edgy, skatery kind of cover.
You know, one thing that I realized about Germany is actually that we don't change covers midway in series quite often. This is a phenomenon that you see very often with English speaking or
any Sarah J. Maas series.
Yeah. Sarah J. Maas, The Diviners, all of those wonderful examples of switching sizes, switching fonts, switching styles of covers, whatever.
Yeah.
But in Germany, we usually, you know, once we started something, we see it through till the end.
Because they don't want people to have mismatched sets.
You know, like...
Considerate.
Yeah. On the one hand, it's very considerate. On the other hand, when you have a cover like the 90s Harry Potter one, you're not making it better.
No.
when you progressed for 7 books.
Maybe they didn't expect seven books. Maybe they just didn't really appreciate that. But I genuinely can't get over how gorgeous the Thailand one is. I actually kind of want the cover, like the artwork as a print. Like if you take the text off, just have the entire thing as a print because it's so pretty.
Yeah, definitely. So this was actually, I knew I wanted, you know, I wanted to do Harry Potter. I also wanted to do Percy Jackson, which will be the next one and the last one that we're going to do. Because, you know, obviously, Jordan.
Yes. Yeah. Because you know your audience.
But with Harry Potter, I knew, okay, I want to do the UK one, I want to do the German one, but what other one could I do? So I literally put in Harry Potter 20th anniversary edition and just scrolled down to one of those pictures. And I saw that and I was like, Thailand, you outdid yourself. Seriously, this illustration, it's so beautiful.
I want to see all of them now because I want to see what they did with the next ones, because they've got everything, all the big parts of the first book they've got represented in that cover. So I feel like I want to see what they did for the rest of them. I want to see the Prisoner of Azkaban one now because that's my favorite. So
I mean, even Of course, they have a very, very cute style of illustrating, like Harry, and even Hagrid and Dumbledore look amazing. But when you look at the animals, where you see Hedwig, where you see the cat, and even if in the very background, you see Norbert, the little dragon, and the unicorn.
I think the
and
cat then, is probably McGonagall.
That's probably her. And then on the like left bottom, you have the little chocolate frog and stuff. Oh.
Or Trevor. It could be a chocolate frog.
Trevor. Yeah.
I can't tell. It does look like a chocolate frog, actually. It's probably a chocolate frog, you're right.
But it's so... Oh, it's gorgeous. We need to move on, because otherwise we'll go to Amazon Thailand and order the book.
Thailand is just, it's just such a nice cover. People need to... So if they're not following along, they should follow along purely for that.
Yeah. Definitely. So, the last one, The Lightning Thief by Rick Riordan, because I know that Jordan is a massive, massive, massive Percy Jackson fan and generally Rick Riordan fan. So, we have on the left the Japanese version, which is very dark.
Very, very funky though. I like it. Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting.
Then we have the US one, because I remember in a previous, I don't know whether it actually was a recorded episode or whether it was just us talking, you mentioned that the US covers were so much nicer than the UK ones, because the UK ones have that very weird dark illustration style, sort of.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
I don't understand the UK illustration style for any of Rick Riordan's books. It's not just Percy Jackson. It has followed it right through to Heroes of Olympus, just all of them, even Magnus Chase, the new ones, they're all hideous, like holographic monstrosities. And he did, and it's not even just his mythology ones, even Daughter of the Deep, they've done the same thing. They make all of his books look like Pokemon cards, which isn't a bad thing. But they just don't look as good as the American covers, which are gorgeous. Not only are they illustrated, because they're Disney Hyperion over in America, that's who publishes Percy Jackson in America, they're really soft, really gorgeous illustrations that really encapsulate like the plot of the book in a way that British ones just don't. But they're also, they've got like a textured, matte cover. So like the dust jackets are like a matte textured cover, so that they just feel like better quality books just in general, which is why all of my preferred Percy Jacksons are that. However, I still have my hideous holographic Heroes of Olympus and my hideous holographic Percy Jacksons, because they are the first ones that I've read. I've owned them since I was like 11 years old, or at least when they came out. So even though they are awful, even though they are awful, I have to keep them, because they still have my kind of childish writing in the front. They say property of Jordan Wilson, which is my maiden name. And it's, yeah, they're just their memories, but I don't, that's the only reason they have kept their place on my bookshelf, because when eventually I make my son read them, those are probably the copies that I'm going to give him to read, because they are very battered. But this is one of the original US Lightning Thief ones, I believe, because it's got the blocked out spine, which I do really like. I recently just bought a set of the Percy Jackson the Olympians in the American cover that has the, that shows Olympus in the spines.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah. So I bought that paperback set while I was over in America recently. The German cover is interesting. It's definitely not as ugly as the UK one. So, you know, the UK is the winner in that in ugliest Percy Jackson cover. But it is different. It's different to the others.
Yeah. Like one tiny thing about the German one. So, I mean, you know, I think it very well illustrates the power dynamic between the gods and the demigods, and how Percy Jackson probably felt in some regard. But if you actually read the book then, because Percy is so sassy and he does not, you know, the respect for the gods does not overwhelm him as this cover would probably suggest. Which, of course, you only reflect maybe on if you have already read the book. What I really like, though, is that for Percy, they made like the trident as part of the font. I don't know. I just found that very quirky and very middle grade, which is, of course, the audience that this book is originally written for.
Yes.
And I mean, okay, this is getting ridiculous at some point. I did not realize this at first, but yet again, it has the bestseller sticker on it. And I have a very fond memory of actually this cover. I did not read Percy Jackson when I was in middle grade. I read Percy Jackson in English when I was an adult. So I did not grow up with it, but I think it was 3 years ago, I was sitting on a train and there were a lot of middle grade students in that train going from one city to the next to go to their school. And, you know, a lot of them had their phones with them. They were sometimes playing with their friends next to each other. Sometimes they were just looking at their phones. And then there was this one boy of, I don't know, 11, maybe 12, who was sitting on that train and he was reading that exact cover, that exact book. And that was right around the time when I read them. And it was like, yeah. Great pick. Yeah. You do you. You know, you don't look at your screen. You are reading. Applause. Applause, yeah. Applause, applause to you and to the parents who raised you in case they had anything to do with you actually reading the book. So, yeah, I have a very fond memory for that because I was like, okay, I still have hope
yeah.
for the next generation.
I do think that the German and Japanese covers on this, as much as I do love the US illustrations for all of the Percy Jacksons, I do think that from a young male reader's point of view, because there is a widespread issue with boys continuing to read past being forced to in school. Mm-hmm. I do think from a sort of middle grade young boy point of view, those two are probably the most appealing covers. And that's not to sort of be like in different ways, because I'm looking at the Japanese one and I think you can tell it is probably like foiled and shiny wherever the writing and the framing is, which means I actually think the sort of action comic book style of illustration is very cool. And I actually think it's not totally out of place with the Percy Jackson series. I think it really suits the Percy Jackson series itself. And then also the German cover, I think the more I look at it, is it still summarizes a lot of what the book's about. I like that they've changed. I also kind of like that they've changed the font as well. And I do think that, you know, of the three of them, those two would probably be more appealing to the audience that it's actually aimed at. Whereas I am an adult who read them as a child, but still loves them now dearly and rereads them. And of course, like your tastes change, the books that appeal to you change. And yeah, so obviously the one that looks slightly more, I suppose, classic is going to be my favorite, but then I'm not the intended audience for this book, so maybe my opinion doesn't count quite so much. So yes, the US one's probably my favorite, but I do actually think that there's a solid job done by all three, except for the British cover, which obviously we haven't got on this one because it's awful. It just, looking at the British cover in a picture does not do justice for how awful it is, unless you can see how holographic everything on the front cover is. You can't understand.
I will do another hidden slide and input those pictures, but please keep in mind they are probably not as hideous as they are in real life.
Well, even the UK did a movie cover. When the movies came out, they did the cover that had Logan Lerman on the front of it, which was also holographic. I don't understand this obsession that who publishes Percy Jackson in the UK? Puffin. Or is it Penguin? Which one? Is it Puffin? Yeah, Puffin Books loves making covers holographic for middle grade boys. Maybe it's just me. I should ask. I've got nephews. I'll ask them. I'll ask my younger brother who's 7. I'll show him the US one that I prefer and the UK one, and I'll say, which one do you think looks cooler? And if he likes the holographic one, then obviously that's my answer, isn't it?
To be honest, the Japanese one, maybe as a last thought, it really reminds me of those cartoons that I used to watch when I was in middle grade. Maybe give it a little bit more color and it would look like exactly like one of those ones. So of course, you know, like I was a girl, I'm still a woman, and my taste has not drastically changed. But I think back, especially in middle grade, I used to watch a lot of stuff that also boys watch. So I can definitely see where the vibe is coming from.
One thing I also need to shout out on the UK version for people who may not know, and it's a thing that Mike Schubert from The Newest Olympian finds hilarious, and I didn't appreciate how hilarious it was until it was pointed out to me by a bunch of Americans. But all of the Percy Jackson books in the UK versions have half boy, half god, all hero on it.
Oh god. Oh, that's so cringe. I'm sorry.
It's so cringy. I'd always thought it was cringy, but until you hear an American accent say it in like an action voice, you don't appreciate just how cringy it is. But yeah, all of them say that on the front or the back.
Oh,
yeah.
Dear.
Half boy, half god, all hero.
God.
But yeah, so that's a bit of a genius UK marketing for you. But yeah, that's another yeah, so you know, I don't think any country's got all the right answers when it comes to publishing. Yeah. Maybe they just do better in different genres.
Oh dear. That was so much fun. Thank you so much. I knew you were the perfect person to do that episode with. I really loved all of the takes that you had on the different covers. I really loved how we really also experienced the like cultural differences of us living in different countries, growing up in different countries, having had experiences, you know, for example, in school or generally growing up that are different, but sometimes also very similar. So I really, really love that. So maybe to finish off the episode, where can people find you? What do you have planned next? Anything you want to shout out?
So you can find me talking about books on my podcast, Books to Last, which is available where all podcasts are found. And we have guests, wonderful guests like Marika on to talk about the 5 books they would take with them if they were cast away to a mystery remote location. I am also on, the podcast is on Twitter and Instagram at Books to Last Pod. I am on Instagram also sometimes talking about books at Jordan Dunn, which is JORDANNE. DUNN. I'm going to rely on Marika to share that possibly. But yeah, I mainly talk about books on the podcast and on the podcast social media. So come and check me out there or on Goodreads. And yeah, I just talk about a lot of Percy Jackson, but other stuff as well.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Yet again, an invitation for you. If you want to let us know your thoughts, please do so in the comments on Instagram or as a direct message or also as an email. I will link all of that in the show notes. I will also, while I'm editing the podcast, will take notes of things that I want to adapt in the presentation, put in as hidden slides and also put things in the show notes so that I don't forget anything. And until next time, I hope that we discover the words on our shelves and in our hearts. Bye.
Bye.